Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello Ben, how are you?
Hello Trev, I'm good, thank you very much. How are you?
Worried.
Oh dear, worried? What are you worried about?
I'm worried about the really powerful people in the world, Ben.
Well, I mean, aren't we all?
Yeah, but you know, there was a big thing in China this week. You know, they had their big parade.
Oh yes, the big military showdown, yeah.
I don't like that. It worries me, all of this. We have the trooping of the colour in our country, but it's not really the same, is it? I mean, I know all the soldiers are on display, but like in Russia and China, where they just wheel out all their weaponry and basically say, don't come anywhere near us because this is the sort of shit we've got.
Yeah, like you say, we have the trooping of the colour, but it isn't quite the dick swinging that's going on over there at the moment.
No. So, you know, the Chinese president, he had Vladimir Putin come over and Kim Jong-un. I mean, why you'd want those two people as your friends? You might as well invite Farage over, just get it done. So President Xi Jinping of China and his mates over. It's not really the weapons that were on display that worry me the most. It was a little conversation between Xi Jinping and Putin that was picked up by a microphone that worries me more than anything else.
Oh, I've not heard this. So what, they didn't realise the microphone was still on?
Yeah, it was a hot mic moment. You know, one of those things where it amazes me that they wouldn't know a microphone was on, and it sort of makes me think they'd want people to hear them having this conversation, because the conversation was about them potentially having organ transplants in the future to ensure their immortality.
Really?
Yes.
See, I'm not sure that's a complete fail-safe. I mean, it might buy you some more time, but I don't think it'll work for immortality.
Well, has anyone tried it? Because this is the thing, these are the people that are going to live forever. It's going to be the really powerful, and perhaps not the most pleasant people, who are going to be able to have this stuff done. And this is the worry for me, that going forward, the world, if immortality becomes a thing and organ transplants is the way forward, right, powerful presidents, dictators, let's call them what they are, dictators, will be the ones who will dictate that they will live forever.
I'm not sure they've thought too carefully about it. I don't want to get too miserable. I mean, I get it. You can have new hearts, livers, lungs, basically all the internal kit. That's fine. Hmm. But when the brain starts to decline at a very old age, then popping in all the new gear in the middle doesn't really help, does it?
Maybe a brain transplant will be the next.
But then you're not really the same person with a brain transplant, are you?
Well, I don't know.
You're just a stranger living in Vladimir Putin's body. It's like a film, this.
I mean, do we know where the personality is stored? Is it all in the brain? And would you be, if you were to give President Putin my brain, would he become me? Would he become Trev? Like, would you have to do a podcast with Vladimir Putin? It would probably be more popular than this.
But the Putin Ben Show.
Yeah. I like the fact you're still putting yourself second. You've got.
I know my place. I know the billing.
Putin's not going second in the listing, is he? you're doing a podcast with Putin every week, but he's got my brain. Would you be having the same sort of nonsense conversation that you have with me every week? Or would you be having a conversation with a dictator who would talk about, you know, the Russian project?
No, I think it would prove me wrong. But personally, I think it would be like you, but an angry you, because I think I'd have to constantly sort of justify myself that, listen, Trev, I wanted to keep you around and there was only one body going, and I'm really sorry that it was Vladimir Putin, but that's just what it is. But I think you kind of harbour a grudge that everywhere you went, people would think you're a bit of an evil dick. But at least you'd still be alive.
Hmm. The thing is, though, it would change Putin, wouldn't it? Presumably, if he's got my brain, he's not going to be able to speak Russian, because I can't speak Russian. So that's all going to be lost, isn't it? So would he be? He wouldn't be a great leader. What I'm saying is, even if it's just my brain in Putin's body, I wouldn't be a great leader for Russia, I don't think, because I'd bring the war in Ukraine to an end straight away, because I think that's an evil thing that's happening. So I'd stand up in the Kremlin, and I'd say, I'm sorry about all that's happened over the last few years. It was a bad thing, really, wasn't it? A terrible thing. And I'm sorry, I'm going to stop it now. No more bombs, going to stop the war. And maybe the Russian cabinet, all those people that have wanted the war and keep it, they'd probably bump me off.
You see, would his inner circle be aware of the brain transplant?
Well, if I suddenly turn up and can't speak Russian and I've got a South London accent and I want to stop the war, they might have suspicions that it's not actually Vladimir Putin. They may not know about the transplant. They may not realise it's Putin's body still, but just with a different brain. They might think it's an imposter, a lookalike, a spy element that's been sent into the Kremlin. I mean, really bad spy element, because let's face it, the MI5 or the CIA, whatever it is, if you're going to send in a duplicate Putin, send in someone who can at least speak the language. Don't send Trevin to take over the Kremlin.
The alternative, I think, would be to basically say, right, Trev, we're on to you. We know that this is your brain inside Vladimir's body. He died weeks ago and we rescued his corpse, and now you're basically in his body. However, we can't let it on to the people that the great dictator has died. So you are going to use his body, but we don't trust any of your ideology. We don't like the way you think, all this nicey-nicey
shit. I'm not communist, so I'm not going to be popular.
No. So you're on waving duty, essentially. You're going to be mute.
Right.
We're going to say that Vladimir Putin no longer decides to justify anything he says or decides or does. He will still pop up now and again to prove he's still alive and wave at the crowd. Other than that, he will pass on all of his messages via notes and aides, and that's that. But that's better, we think, than letting the public know that the great dictator has passed away.
Mind you, with AI these days, you could stick my brain in Putin's body and just get me to... I'd basically be like a ventriloquist dummy. You'd pump out a speaker, Putin's voice, saying whatever the message the Kremlin want to give out, and I'd just be the figure, and I'd probably just have to move my mouth like Orville.
There's a reference.
Well, ventriloquism isn't really an act these days, is it? I mean, there's the... What's his name? There's Denham. Someone Denham, the American ventriloquist, who's still quite famous, but vent acts aren't really a thing these days. Maybe I could bring that back. Part of my remit as the vent Putin would be to reinvigorate
Putin and Orville.
Yeah, well, I could release a new song. I wish I could fly a missile over Kiev.
Well, you could do I wish I could die, because they simply won't allow him to rot.
Well, the point is he wants to live forever. I mean, what about if it was Kim Jong-un? Stick my brain in Kim Jong-un.
You see, yeah, I think this is where I think, bless you, you're going ever so slightly wrong. I don't think that Vladimir Putin and the rest of them want their shell to live on. I think they want their own conscious mindset and their mentality to live on. I don't think they want to just rent out their cadaver to you.
No, but you came up with the problem that just internal organs isn't going to be enough to keep them sharp for the rest of eternity. They're going to need a new brain. And what I was suggesting was, what if it was mine? It's not going to be mine.
No, but you can't have a new brain. Once the brain deteriorates, that's kind of you gone, I'm afraid. So if you put a new brain in, you can keep the body, fine. But at that point, it's just like... It's basically like buying a house. You just pop a new owner inside it, and the outside's still the same, but it's a different internal being.
What if we get to a point, though, where we could clone somebody's brain and you could just replace it? Rather than... Because if you clone the human being, that human being still has to be given birth to, has to grow, and it might develop its own views and opinions. You've just cloned it genetically. But if you could clone... a brain. If you could clone Vladimir Putin's brain or Kim Jong-un's brain, I mean, I'd like it to be someone more worthwhile if we're going to do this. Can we do it with Bob Mortimer? David Attenborough, let's clone him. But I'm thinking these are the evil people in the world are the ones who are going to get it first, because that's just the way the world works. They'd have the money and the power. If they could clone their brain so that you just, you know, after 80-odd years, you just pop in another one. And it's exactly the same... personality, got exactly the same traits as the originals.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an episode of Black Mirror, but if it was, I mean, it does beg the question, I think Freddie Mercury posed, who wants to live forever?
Well, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin, by the sound of it, by the sound of the conversation they were having that was caught
but
on
I
mic.
Don't. I don't get me wrong, I don't want to die, but I don't see the point in living forever. Do you?
Well, that's because we are nobodies. If you are the leader of a powerful nation and you've got that power has gone to your head and you've become, I mean, Xi Jinping has already changed the Chinese constitution so he can lead for life. So he's already got an idea of his own eternity worked out, that he's going to lead the nation for the rest of his natural life. But why wouldn't he want to do that for eternity? He's got the power madness. I think if you're the head of a major power like China or Russia, you might think, yeah, this is good. I've got gold walls around me all the time. I'm weighted on hand and foot. People do what I say because I'm a dictator. Yeah, I'll have that forever, please. Thank you very much.
But this is the reason people retire from their jobs. It's because you get older, you get tired, you think, I can't be bothered with this anymore.
Yeah, because most of us are doing the most mundane, dull things. I mean, I cannot wait to retire. I don't want to wish my life away, but I cannot wait to retire. I am sick of working. But if I was head of a state and that power's gone to my head, I may not want to relinquish that power.
Meh, yeah, I see your point. I do see your point.
I mean, look at Trump. If Trump had the ability to live forever, he probably believes he's going to anyway, he'd take it and he would want to run America for eternity if he could. If you gave Trump the option of a brain that was still him, a cloned brain, he'd probably want something a little bit better than what he's got at the moment. But he thinks he's the greatest, so I'm the greatest that's ever been. So he would want the greatest brain. I want my greatest brain, Ben. I want my greatest brain. I want it cloned. I want it put in my body. Is it getting better, the impression?
No, actually getting worse.
So I think he'd want that, and he'd want his brain for it. He wouldn't want to retire, would he? No matter how old he got, even if he was living for eternity, I don't think he'd get to like 170 and go, I think I've had enough now. He'd want more and more of the power, Ben.
At what point would they have to admit that they've duped the system and some shenanigans are going on? Because at a certain point, even the dumbest of the populace would sort of think, hang on, mate, you're 145 now and you seem fine. What's going on?
I don't think it would be done behind closed doors. I think they would boast about it. I think they would stand on a stage somewhere at their party conferences or whatever and announce that because they are so great and powerful. I think a lot of them believe, well, certainly you look at the Kim Jong-un line, it's almost a divine myth that goes on. Trump obviously believes he's some sort of messenger of God's, you know, he was saved from the assassination by God to do great things. Maybe we'll see some great things one day, but I doubt it very much. But he believes he's been saved. I don't know about Xi Jinping. I don't know what his sort of status is, whether that's almost a demigod type thing. But they believe they're demigods. So they would sort of say, well, I've been chosen to be given this new brain to live forever because, you know, it's without me here, there's no messenger directly from God. You need me.
Yeah.
If you could have another brain, would you want your own brain or is there someone else's brain that you'd like? Because I don't think if I had the option to have my own brain cloned, as much as there are some things of my personality that I think are quite good, I think I'd like to be someone else. I think I'd like, if I had the option, I think I'd give. Because the thing about, like, if you believe in reincarnation, which I don't, but if you did believe in that, you sort of think, well, you come back as someone else, you have that opportunity to live as someone else. The reason I don't really believe in reincarnation is I just still feel like it's very odd that if you come back as someone else, you have no recollection of a previous life. So I don't really know what you know, wouldn't it be better if you could learn from your previous mistakes? Maybe subconsciously you're doing reincarnation, I don't really know. But, you know, if I had the option of a new brain, I think I'd go, no, I don't think I want my own cloned, please. I think I'd like to be someone else.
That's a very strange question. So what you're essentially asking is, would you like to have another go at life, but have no memory of who you are now at all, but you get another go, but you won't know you're having another go? Or would you like to carry on with who you are?
Well, you might know that you're having another go, because if the brain that you are to receive is aware of the fact that it will be transferred to you on, presumably on the death of the body it's currently in, right? Or maybe someone else's brain's been cloned. Like, you know, if I could have Bob Mortimer's brain...
Why do you keep going on about Bob Mortimer?
Well, because he's like one of my favourite people on the earth.
You're obsessed.
I like the way his brain works, right? I wish I had that sort of brain that can think of the surreal things that he comes up with. And I think if I could have... But I don't want Bob Mortimer taken from the planet... But if we could clone his brain, obviously all with his permission. Well, I'm not kidnapping him, but taking him to some sort of lab and cloning his brain. It would all be with his permission. So like, I'd almost like to be the kind of backup Bob Mortimer. If I can have your brain, then, you know, we could do twice as much of the stuff, but under your name.
Okay, so you want to be that's your ambition. Trev, we've got all this amazing technology. You can live on, you can have a clone, we can start you again. No, I'd like to be backup Bob Mortimer.
I think it would be a better scenario than just having another Trev brain put in.
I don't know if you're putting disproportionate love onto Bob Mortimer, who is a lovely man. He's brilliant, he's funny, and he deserves a lot of respect. But I don't know if he's worth respecting more than your own existence entirely. I mean, it's admirable that you'd like to be backup Bob Mortimer, but not for me, as much as it would be nice to have a backup Bob Mortimer, not at the expense of Trev Smith. I think I quite like you.
Would you like my brain then? If I had Bob's brain...
Why can't I keep mine? Why is there so many levels of sacrifice involved?
So you would choose, if the option was there, you'd choose to have your own brain cloned, so you'd always be Ben.
Yes, but this is troubling now, because now you're exposing that I want to do the same thing that Vladimir Putin wants to do.
Yeah, basically, you are a ruthless dictator, I think is what we've discovered. Now, Ben, every week, as preparation for the podcast, because, I mean, there is a little bit of preparation, not much. There is some preparation.
Yes, believe it or not, there is a little, yeah.
So as part of my preparation, I always trawl the internet for odd, bizarre, strange stories that we might want to talk about. And this week, what popped up on my search was a list of very old stories, and I mean very old stories, from newspapers, but some of the most bizarre headlines and stories that newspapers have probably ever printed.
Okay, I like the sound of this.
The first one I'll start with was a tiny little piece in a newspaper in the States back in 1954. But here's the headline. Well, I'll give you the first part of the headline first. Husband and dog gone.
Well, that's not funny. That's terrible.
So obviously a woman, well, she's reported to police that her husband and Chihuahua puppy have disappeared. She's obviously very concerned.
Okay, so would I be.
Second part of the headline, just wants dog back.
Oh.
Second part of the story, I don't care if my husband ever comes back. I just want to find my dog.
Oh dear. I mean, if he's still alive and never reads the paper, that's going to sting, isn't it?
Maybe that's why he's taken the dog. Because he knows how much that's going to hurt her. But we don't know the backstory. We don't know what else has gone on.
No, I mean, that's a particularly cold-hearted thing to say, and especially put in a newspaper. Yeah, how horrible.
Mind you, let me ask you this. I mean, let's say that he's decided he's leaving her. He might be the bastard here. I'm not suggesting she's done anything wrong. We don't know. But maybe he's decided, I'm leaving her, I'm going. Maybe he's moving in with his lover. We don't know. But both him and his wife love the Chihuahua so much. You know, and he's gone, well, if I'm going, I'm taking the dog. It may have been a loving thought process that's gone on. And let me ask you this, Ben. I know you don't have Maisie anymore.
No.
But if you did, and you decided, that's it, I'm leaving Mrs. Ben, would you have taken the dog? See, you've got to think about it.
I don't think... Because I do very much love my wife, believe it or not. So I don't think I could do that to her. That would be too harsh to rip Maisie away from Mrs. Ben. I don't think I could do it.
Well, I think that says a lot about you as a man and a husband, Ben, and you should be very proud of that.
Thank you. I would like sort of visiting rights for snuggles and cuddles with the dog, I mean, not her. But, yeah.
Right. Would it be at some sort of contact centre, or would you want to be able to take it for a walk? Would it have to be supervised visits with the dog?
I don't think I'd care so long as I got to see the dog. That would be the most important thing. I'd probably say a contact centre rather than a walk, because I don't want to spend any of my time having to pick up shit whilst I'm
right.
just visiting. So, yeah, I'll do the contact centre, I think.
So in the bitter split up and divorce, you're leaving all the shit picking up to Mrs. Ben.
I mean, the rough comes with the smooth, I'm afraid. If you're going to get 24-hour sort of access to the dog, then you do have to deal with the poo. If I'm leaving, but I still want to see my pooch every sort of second Sunday of the month or whatever, then I'm not dealing with the shit.
How long are you seeing the dog for every 2 weeks on a Sunday at the contact centre?
I would want at least an hour.
At least an hour. Because I was going to say, depending on the time frame, look, let's not go into it too graphically, but there, you know, if it's a long period of time, there may still need some... There may still be some toiletry issues to deal with, is what I'm saying.
I understand, yeah. Although I think I just ignore it and...
And let the contact centre staff clear it up.
Yeah. Presumably, if a dog contact centre exists, then they have to be braced for that. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, a little bit. We're learning quite a lot about your character this week on the podcast, aren't we?
Yes, vicious dictator who liked dogs, like Hitler. It's good.
If I was Mrs. Ben in this scenario, and we've gone through a bitter breakup, and you want to see the dog, I would make sure that the dog, mind you, if you're getting the staff to do it, it doesn't make a difference, but I would make sure the dog stores it up. So it's desperate when it gets to you. I'd like to see it piss all up your leg, to be honest.
Right, that's really charming of you. Thank you for that, yes. So my one act of kindness, letting you keep the dog, you'd still think, no, when it's that bastard's turn, I'm still going to get him. I'm still going to get him.
Yeah, oh, mate, yeah. I did everything in my power to make it a miserable experience for you is what I...
I wouldn't put it past you that you'd slip the dog quite a strong laxative about 5 minutes before I arrive as well.
Well, I hadn't thought of that, but now you've mentioned it, yes. Of course I would. Give it a lot of licorice just before it arrives.
Oh, dear.
Right, here's another one. This is from 1913. The headline, Oh, Damn It, Wants Name Changed. This is a man who was called Orlando Dammit. And he was seeking to get his name changed back in 1913 because he couldn't tell whether people were either calling him or just venting feelings out loud. I mean, it's a bit like if you were called Gordon Bennett. You don't hear Gordon Bennett as a phrase really anymore, do you?
No, I think that's really died out. And I'm not even sure where it came from. I think is it something to do with Ireland or something?
I think there was someone called Gordon Bennett. Was it a shop? I don't know. Could you look it up as we discuss it, Ben? Maybe ask ChatGPT what she knows of the history of the phrase Gordon Bennett. But if you were Gordon Bennett and you were walking around and somebody went Gordon Bennett, I lament the loss of Gordon Bennett as I might start using it. I might start trying to bring Gordon Bennett because I swear a lot. And I think maybe I'm going to try and replace swearing with Gordon Bennett when something annoys me, rather than going, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm going to try and go Gordon Bennett, bring it back.
Well, I have looked up the phrase, and I don't know why I got island involved. I think there, I still am not convinced that there wasn't a string of shops called Gordon Bennett. But anyway, according to the AI overview on Google, I didn't use GPT for this one. The origin of the phrase Gordon Bennett is an exclamation of surprise, likely comes from the notorious antics of American newspaper magnate James Gordon Bennett Jr.
Right.
His scandalous behavior, such as urinating in a fireplace at a party, gained public notoriety, leading to his name becoming synonymous with shock and outrage, eventually evolving into the minced oath Gordon Bennett to express similar sentiments without the use of coarse language.
Wow. So they go, so basically started off with a man pissing in a fireplace.
Yeah.
People going, Gordon Bennett! And then yes, taking off as a phrase of shock and dismay and frustration.
And I like that his scandal wasn't super scandalous. There was no, you know, there was no sort of blood money involved or, you know, sex and drugs. He just had a piss in a fireplace.
Yeah. Well, oh, damn it. He was annoyed at being unsure as to whether someone was cursing or calling him. So he petitioned to get his name changed. What we don't know is whether he got, whether he successfully changed his name or not. We don't know that from the story.
Always leave you wanting more, don't they, these newspaper stories?
This was another genuine newspaper headline and story from a paper in 1920. Children not fish, so can't be mailed.
What?
Well, you'd be interested in this, being a postman, I'd imagine.
Go on. Children not fish, what?
Children not fish, so can't be mailed.
Sorry, is the first portion of the sentence a sort of declaration? Children are not fish.
Yes. So basically, children do not come within the classification of harmless animals and therefore are not mailable. This was an answer that was sent to a postmaster of Washington back in, as I say, 1920. Fish can be parceled because they are harmless animals, but children are not fish, so you can't mail children. I think that's a good message to get out there. You know, it could have been a bit of confusion back in 1920. Can you mail a child? Can you not mail a child? Have you ever had to deliver a, when I say deliver a child, Ben, I mean in your role as a postman, not as a wife.
I've delivered some animals, which has been deeply unpleasant. I think I've told you before on this very podcast about having to deliver multiple, what I've since discovered to be horrible big spiders in boxes and things like that.
Right, yes. They are alive.
Yes, they are, and unfortunately, I don't know who would order a dead spider, Trev, but yes.
Well, some people like them, but yeah, they put them on a frame, don't they? Like butterflies and stuff, and put them in some sort of display case. People might do that with certain spiders, so they want the dead ones, but all in a case. But no, you're delivering live spiders for some unknown reason to some weirdo.
Yeah, I imagine delivering a child, I mean, moral issues aside, it'd be quite expensive because I think that the weight issue, I mean, fragile would need to go on the box this way up, I imagine, is quite important. Also, you'd probably need to stab some air holes into the... I bet you were worried when I said stab there for a second, weren't
you? Yeah, I didn't know where you were going with it.
Stab some air holes into the box and probably put in some sort of sustenance and bottle of water, which would add to the weight, of course, but you might want to do special delivery next day for that one, just in case.
Yeah, you'd want it signed for, wouldn't you?
Ideally, yeah, just so we know where
probably,
it's gone.
You probably want to put a little message on it, don't leave on doorstep, you know, make sure it's taken in, you'd want it signed for.
Yeah, don't block air holes.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another one. This is one of those stories of a brilliant sort of burglary kind of gone wrong. The headline, this was from 1952, Steals Payroll, Gets Fruitcake.
Right. Tell me more.
This was a woman who used to bring her weekly payroll to her husband's lamp store in I think it's in New York, right? And she was then intercepted by a gunman in the lift who snatched a bulky envelope from her hands, obviously assuming this was all the money. Turns out because it was Christmas, payday had happened a week before, so it wasn't payday for the staff that day, so there wasn't the money in it. And all that was in the envelope was bits of holiday fruitcake that were being prepared for the staff.
Oh, you'd be really annoyed, wouldn't you? You do hear these strange stories. I can't remember any off the top of my head, but people who've been trying to dispose of something really horrible, but on the sly, and they get mugged for it on the underground or something, and they're quite relieved that it's no longer their problem. And then the moment of discovery for the thief to open up a big briefcase full of dog shit or something strange.
Yes. Yeah, you sort of think that's instant karma, don't you, really?
Yeah.
And would you, if you had been relieved of some bits of fruitcake as opposed to cash, would you, I mean, obviously this has gone to the police and the press have picked up on the story, but would you bother phoning the police? Would you sort of, I suppose it would be good to report it because maybe the thief will reappear on the next payday. I mean, this is obviously years ago before the days of it just being transferred into your bank account. This was when you were given a pay packet. But, they might come back for that, but would you report otherwise? Well, they got away with some fruitcake.
I think you'd have to, because although you're not fussed about the fruitcake, it's probably still important to let the police know there is someone out there who's desperate enough or greedy enough to start committing crimes and robbing people. So I still think it needs reporting, even if you don't really care about the loss of cake.
Fair enough.
It's the responsible thing to do.
It is the responsible thing to do. All right. Right, here's another one. This is from 1939. Co-ed tries for goldfish swallowing title.
Now, this sounds like animal cruelty to me. What's going on here?
Well, this seems to have been. This was at the University of Missouri School of Journalism, as I say, back in 1939. So different times, Ben, different times. Got to remember that. It seems to have been almost a competition. They had the Collegiate Goldfish Swallowing Derby.
Right. I mean, you do. Yes, you are right. Different times and all that. But it just seems a little bit baffling to me that that was ever sort of okay. I mean,
thing.
is the idea to regurgitate them and bring them back up, or just simply swallow a fish?
Well, it doesn't say anything about bringing them back up. The idea was to swallow the live goldfish, by the way. They're still live, right? You swallow the live goldfish. Physicians at the time did warn that swallowing live goldfish may bring about anemia through the introduction of tapeworm, which many fish were infected with at the time. But Marie Henson, the co-ed in particular, she didn't care about that. She wanted the title of goldfish swallowing queen. I don't know whether she won. That's the thing. I don't know whether she won. The frustrating thing about this particular feature, Ben, is there is no answer to whether. Because if you're swallowing live goldfish, and I doubt you're bringing them back up, I suggest you just swallow them and then they die within your intestine. But
Oh.
don't know whether it was all worth it. You'd want to win if you're going through all that.
Again, though, I think I mentioned this concept recently about if you're going to die prematurely, you don't want it to be for a really stupid reason. And this falls into that category for me. Yes, I won the record for swallowing eight live goldfish in a row, and then I caught some dreadful illness because apparently swallowing live goldfish isn't a very clever thing to do for your insides, and died. I sort of think it's kind of poetic justice. I don't even know if she, obviously, I don't know if she did, but if she was to, I'd sort of think, well, reap what you sow a little bit.
Okay. All right. A couple more. Vengeful man barks like dog.
What? Who was he barking at? The dog?
He was basically his neighbors had dogs that were keeping him awake at night. So his act of revenge was to sit on his porch at night and bark like a dog. He was given a $10 fine. This was back in 1950. He was given a $10 fine, presumably a fair amount of money back then. He was appealing the fine. Again, I can't tell you whether he won the appeal or not, but it was a revenge for noisy dogs. I just think barking, when you're trying to have revenge for dogs who are already barking, all you're doing is probably inducing more barking from the dogs.
Yeah, because dogs don't really understand when we shout at them that we're saying be quiet, because all they think we're doing is joining in with the barking.
Exactly.
So, and also, that means that the one little bit of peace you do have, you're then using it to bark back and create even more noise.
Yeah.
I don't see how this is helpful. No, I mean, I've often thought, is there a way to sort of let the neighbors know if you had to. You know, we can be just as annoying as you if you want to. But then, of course, you could put on like the Benny Hill theme tune for 4 hours on loop. But then again, you've got to live with it too. So yes. who wins here? I don't really know.
I mean, I don't really, because I don't like, as you know, I don't like a lot of noise. But I never feel like, oh, I must get back at those people making noise. Like, if I recently got very annoyed, I think I remember talking about it on the podcast, got really annoyed because people over the road were suddenly blasting loud music out for about an hour or so in the evening. It was really pissing me off. But I didn't think, well, what I'll do is I'll just play music just as loud, because as you say, I've got to live with that. But then I'm also aware that I'm going to be pissing other people off because I know it pisses me off. So I'm not sure that's a good way of getting back. I think revenge always needs to be a little bit more calculated, don't you think? I mean, in this case, I'm not condoning it, but why don't you lace some steak with sleeping tablets or something and give it to the dogs at night, knock them out cold for them?
Don't agree with the sort of covert, not poisoning, but sedating of animals at all. And I suppose that's why they say if it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for the tooth, the whole world would be blind and gummy. Because if you're angered by your neighbours playing music, so you retaliate with music, and then your next door neighbour's now annoyed with all this extra noise and they start playing music, eventually the whole street's playing music and it just becomes carnage. So, yeah.
Or carnival, depending on how you, you know. If you like the music, yay, get out there. But yeah, it'd be very annoying. How would you reap revenge on a noisy neighbour?
Oh, see, I think, I mean, so you're saying revenge, so I obviously can't go around and sort of say, do you mind keeping it down? And
well, no, all right, well, let's see how you would deal with it then. So you would, first of all, you do the polite thing, because I'd always be very nervous about knocking on a door.
Well, on that subject, I wanted to run this by you. This is something I witnessed last week. It wasn't that this person's immediate neighbour. This was, they go out through their garden, through their back fence, walk about 200 yards to a house behind them, not even technically on the same street, if we're being really finickety. And she knocks on the garden fence and the gardener comes to the door, or someone doing some work in the garden comes to the gate. And she says, can you stop burning things, please?
Right.
Because they were having some sort of bonfire or doing something. And she said, the smoke, it's bothering me and I'm trying to dry my laundry on the line and it's going to make it stink. So can you stop? Yeah. And I thought, ooh, it's about 10:30 in the morning. They're not your next door neighbour. They're a good 200 yards away. I'm not sure you've got the clout here to be, you know, coming around ordering other people what they do and don't do in their house. Do you think that?
I don't think so. I think bonfires are always a little bit antisocial anyway, I think. But, you know, people are entitled to have a bonfire in the garden.
Yeah.
And I always think if you're having a bonfire, you should be a little considerate. Like, I've never done a bonfire in my house, but if I was, I would check. If the neighbours around me had washing out, I'd probably think, I'll wait till the washing's been taken in, then I'll do the bonfire. I think it's a little bit of give and take on all sides. But if you're 200 yards away and I've not seen you got washing out, I don't think, as unpleasant as it is and as inconvenient as it might be that you've got to bring your washing in and dry it indoors and not outside or whatever, I don't think you've really got a leg to stand on.
So would you say no, sod off, if you were the person who was asked?
Well, there's the other thing, you see, because I think if someone has knocked on my door, I would feel mortified that they have felt the need to knock on my door, and I think I would capitulate and go, okay, I'll go and put the bonfire out.
But as much as they've gone to the effort of putting their laundry out to dry, you've gone to the effort of setting up a bonfire, and you've got shit you need to burn. So
yeah. What I might do...
And it is on your property.
I might just go and put, like, really stinky stuff, like start burning plastic. You know, really, really toxic fumes.
So going back to your original question, how would I do it? I'm a bit cowardly, so I think... Since it's not a case of polite conversation and negotiation, because you did say revenge, I think I'd look for some sort of underhanded way of doing it, like seeing if there was a website that could send anonymous threatening letters.
Right.
In a sort of, not like I'm going to get you or anything, but just have some consideration for your neighbours, please. Keep it down, turn the volume down, keep the smoke to a minimum, stop shouting at your dog, stop letting the dogs bark, stop the karaoke, whatever it might be. Yeah. I think I would probably find some anonymous way of getting someone else to do it for me.
I mean, what you could do is sort of under the sort of shadow of night, you could go around to all the neighbours putting through like a generic anonymous letter. Yeah, there's too much noise now in the street. I'm finding it very distracting. Please bear in mind that you have neighbours that you need to be considerate of. No one can suspect it's you because eventually word would get round. You know what neighbours are like? You go, oh, I got one of those as well. The only thing now, of course, is the Ring doorbell would probably pick you up delivering the letters anonymously. So you probably would need to either mask up and hoodie up or send them via the post. It would cost you in stamps, but send the anonymous letter so that the postman's delivered. Mind you, you are the postman, so there's...
Checkmate, yeah. And then think, who is the only person who has access to send unstamped mail to us? Oh, it'll be our next door neighbour. Great. That's me stitched up then.
Well, no, you'd have to stamp them, mate. That's what I mean. It's going to cost you a bit of money, but it means that you can anonymously send letters to your... threatening letters to your neighbours, probably cut out from newspaper letters, you know, like those ransom notes.
But also, just to point out, I like the idea of covering your bases by sending it to all of the neighbours, just so you can point out I've had one too. But have you seen the cost of a stamp these days?
It costs you a lot of money, but what's the price of peace, Ben? Right, last one. It's from 1950. He wouldn't kiss the cat, is the headline.
Oh, I'll leave that. Just carry on. Just keep going.
This was a London divorce court in 1950. Where a cat...
you know cat, where my mind went, don't you?
I do know where it went, yeah.
I'm terribly sorry.
Basically, the wife had demanded that her husband, on returning from work each day, should kiss her first, then her sister, then the cat. He refused to kiss the cat, so she left home. So he was granted divorce on the grounds of her desertion. The judge did remark that he thought if... the husband did want the wife back, he might then have to kiss the cat. I don't think you can demand that anyone kisses a cat or any animal, really.
To me, that's not the strangest thing in this. I mean, I'm finding it very difficult to resist the most childish of jokes.
Let's see if we can rise above that.
Okay. I, having had a dog, I mean, I don't need encouragement to snuggle dogs because I love them and I can't help myself. But if Mrs. Ben was to ever say...
the dog first, and then Mrs. Ben.
If Mrs. Ben was to ever say, oh, give Maisie a little cuddle, then I wouldn't have a problem with that. And I would oblige. But why was her sister there?
I don't know. Maybe she obviously lived in the house. She obviously lived there. I mean, I think that's an odd thing. That I would be more upset... if I'm honest, if I was living in a household where I'm married and I've got a cat, but also my wife's sister has moved in to the property for whatever reason, I'd have more problem with my wife insisting that when I get home from work, I have to also kiss her sister.
Yeah, that's the weird bit. Yeah.
I kiss my wife, but I'm not kissing the sister on her demand. That's a very weird thing. I'm sure it's just a very platonic peck on the cheek. Maybe more. I don't know.
It's just the demand of it. It's like, oh, hi, Ben. Welcome back from a hard day's work. Give us a kiss, love. How you doing? All right. Oh, nice to see you. Oh, I'll give Maisie a quick cuddle. She's over there on the sofa, wagging her little tail. Hello, Maisie. Hello. Good girl. Yeah. Now kiss my sister. I'm sorry. You heard me. Kiss my sister.
I mean, she's done it in the wrong order. The sister second, remember, in this story. you've got to kiss the sister before going anywhere near the animal. I've noticed you're not kissing the dog. You're only giving the dog a cuddle. Why are you not kissing the dog?
Oh, I'd give her a kiss on the head as well. Oh, I'm not, as much as a dog person as I am, I do draw the line. I don't... hate, well, I do kind of hate it. I don't like them licking my face.
No,
because I know where else that tongue goes.
I don't like being licked by a dog, full stop, if I'm honest. I love dogs. I don't like being licked by a dog. I don't want all that slobber all over my hands, face. I don't want to be licked by a dog. Mm. When people go, oh, is the dog giving you kisses? No. It's slobbering, as you say, all of its arse dirt, the terrible dog food that is eating, all of that all over my face, my hands. No, thank you very much. I'll stroke the dog, I'll pet the dog, I'll cuddle the dog, not kissing the dog. And the dog isn't, inverted commas, kissing me, because it's not kissing, it's licking. It's not a kiss from a dog. I would say a kiss from a dog would be like a little nuzzled on the nose. Even that I'm not keen on. I'm not keen on the wet nose touching me either.
Well, I mean, a wet nose is a sign of health in dogs, which is good. They I don't know who they are, but they do tend to say that dogs' mouths are cleaner than humans. However, I forget licking their backsides and eating their food, which I think was something you complained about. I loved, bless her heart, rest in peace. I don't want to be speaking ill of the dead, but my little Maisie, when she was with us, and I think it is a trait amongst certainly Labradors, not all, and some other dogs, sometimes, let's just put it this way, when the food has gone through them, sometimes they'll think it's fun to eat it again. Now, once you see that, you think twice about the licking of the face.
Mind you, you want to see what my wife's sister gets up to. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations. I've got two things for you this week, Ben.
Go ahead. What have you got?
Now, last week, we mentioned the return of Mitchell and Webb in their new sketch show, Mitchell and Webb Are Not Helping, which started on Friday last week. And I did say last week that I would watch it and report back.
Now, this was one of the things I was going to mention, and I have watched the first two.
Oh.
Be interesting to get your thoughts.
Well, I've only seen the first one, and I thought, overall, pretty good. I think, as I mentioned last week, their sketch shows can always be hit and miss. I thought a couple of the sketches, not great. I just feel David Mitchell is good in every bit. I think his performances are always very good. And a lot of the sketches are what I'd say you'd expect from a Mitchell and Webb sketch show. So overall, I was pretty pleased. It made me laugh a few times. I was a bit thrown to start with that there wasn't a laughter track. There was no audience watching it. So most sketch shows always have laughter tracks. But I think it's better without it, actually.
Yeah, that was a nice plus. I probably was slightly less generous than you, I'd say. I probably gave it about a 60% success rate. And I think that's even a little generous. I'd say stick with it, because there are bits in it which are worth seeing. However, for me, it was almost... I just thought, not only were the ones that I didn't think were very good just simply weren't as funny as others, I just thought some of them just weren't funny. But maybe I'm being harsh. Without spoiling anything, there's one that they're doing, and I think it's going to be a recurring sketch. Australian reality TV show swearing or something like that.
Yes, yes.
Just didn't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. I just didn't get it. But there are definitely some bits in it which are worth seeing.
I thought in the first episode the drama about making the dramas about the Prince Andrew interview, I thought that was very good.
That was funny.
So I think, as I said, I've watched one. I definitely enjoyed it enough to come back to it. So I'm hoping that the series will overall be a success.
Good.
And the other thing I'm going to recommend is on Netflix. It's the film The Thursday Murder Club, which is, of course, based on the novel by Richard Osman.
Oh, yes.
So it's basically a group of people in an old people's home who end up going on to investigate not just one murder, but a couple of murders. I've not read the book, so I cannot sort of say how close it is to the book. It's one of those books I've been meaning to read, right? But I don't read these days. I find it very difficult to get into a book. So I'm afraid I've gone the lazy route and just thought, I'll watch the film instead. It's very good. Yeah, I mean, it's got a great cast. Helen Mirren, Piers Brosnan, Ben Kingsley, Amelia Imrie is in it. So the main cast is faultless, right? Very funny. It's gentle. It's a gentle British comedy murder mystery. I thought very good, though.
Nice. I must give that a go. There was one other one I wanted to mention, which was I finally got to the end of Dexter Resurrection.
Oh, because, yes, last week you said the final episodes were going to be out this week.
Yes, and I've seen it, and I thought there were far... But by the time I got to it, I thought there were far, far too many loose ends here. I said either it's going to be a bloodbath or there's going to be a series two. And I can happily say, as strange as this series have been, as dreadful as the product placement has been, and as overbearingly obvious as that was, it has been the first Dexter series finale that I haven't hated.
Wow.
However, it definitely does heavily lean towards there's got to be another series. So,
I mean, what's interesting is this is the first season finale that you've not hated, but you seem to have hated the rest of the season.
Yes, it's worked in reverse this time round.
Oh, there we go. So that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trev and Bill on X and on Blue Sky, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.